Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Houston, we do not have a problem.
Sarah Webb, Joy Drive's astrophysicist.
Good afternoon, Sarah Webb.
Good afternoon.
Now, Sarah, and we're going to talk about the moon again because another country has landed on the moon. And I think, if I'm right, Russia did it last year and there was a problem with their spacecraft that landed. But we've got another problem. What's going on?
Oh, my gosh. So the moon is a very popular girl at the moment. Every nation and their dog are trying to get back to the moon now that it's more affordable. It's an interesting place. This time it's Japan's turn. So they had their first successful, what we call a soft touchdown, which means it was controlled and the craft didn't crash. Unlike Russia last year, they had a hard touchdown, which meant it basically crashed into the surface. And this one went all according to plan. Everything was going great until all of a sudden it looks like the solar panels are not generating electricity.
Oh, no.
But they achieved the milestone of touching down and having that go successfully. So it is a massive milestone.
And if you said, look, something in the software malfunctioned or there was a computer problem with one of the sensors, the high-tech equipment, but the solar panels, they must be kicking themselves if the solar panels aren't working.
So there's a lot of confusion going around because it looks like all of the hardware was working as expected. So it sounds like the solar panels weren't damaged, but possibly the problem is that they're just not facing the sun to generate enough electricity, which is always a risk. And the moon is a complicated place. The sun, it doesn't have days like us. Its days last for 2 weeks. So if you go into the darkness and you don't have enough power, you're a goner.
So it's not as simple as, we forgot to point them in the wrong direction. It's quite complex.
It sounds like it's quite a complex problem because it could be, a little bit of software, hardware, and the orientation all combined together, which you can't really tell unless you're there looking at everything.
Who's next, do you know, to try and get on the moon?
So there's multiple different missions that are planned over the next couple of years. So the one that I'm most excited for is the Artemis program from the United States. Should be having people loop around the moon and then walk on the moon again in the next couple of years. But that just got pushed back to 2026 just last week. So we're still going to see landers, but we won't see humans for quite a couple years.
Fantastic. Now, let's move on to something that fascinates me every time we speak about it. And that is dark matter, because I'm sure one day we'll be harnessing it for our use somehow.
I think if the world goes to good sci-fi writing, dark matter will solve all of our problems, if you read a lot of books. But unfortunately, right now, we have no idea what it is. It could be something that's tangible. It might be something that's not. And trying to figure out what it is a massive, massive research task, because it makes up 5 times more stuff in the universe than everything else that we can see.
So it's something
which is
big.
Enormous.
It's big then, isn't it? Because we just can't see it.
We can't see
it. But it's here. It's around us.
Yeah, it's passing through you right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Which, I know. I don't know if that makes you uncomfortable or not, but it's literally flowing through us, flowing through the Earth. And the problem with it, what we theorize, is that it doesn't like to interact. So unlike a lot of other particles that do interact with each other and we can detect them, this doesn't.
It's an introvert.
And it's really hard. It is an introvert. That is the perfect description for dark matter.
But there must be a reason for it. And that's what you're trying to find out. There must be, because it wouldn't just be flowing through everything and not wanting to interact. Could it be alien?
It's probably not alien, unfortunately. But it could be a slightly different type of physics than what we understand. Okay. So everything we understand is part of the standard model of physics right now. All of these atoms that make up you and me and everything else we see, but potentially maybe it's just a little bit different. Maybe it's not made of the same stuff. That's always one theory, but again, we won't know until we can physically detect it.
I hope we get to find out eventually.
My money is that we will in our lifetime. There's a lot of amazing experiments, including the Sabre Dark Matter experiment that they're building here in Victoria. That, you know, we're trying to find it through multiple methods. So one is direct detection, which is what Sabre is trying to do. And then other methods are called indirect detection, where we're just trying to understand how it shapes galaxies and how it shapes the structure of the universe. And all of that could help us understand what it is in our lifetimes.
Fantastic. So it could potentially be like the scaffolding holding the universe together and us.
Oh, it absolutely is.
I love
think
it.
That without dark matter, our galaxy would have flung apart and we probably wouldn't be here.
Now, our telescope is playing a role in trying to understand it. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a new telescope that's being built and will be launched in 2027 called the Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope, which I'm really excited for because this will be able to get us really detailed images of a few of our closest galaxies. And what we could do is look for something called globular clusters. These are big groupings of stars. We can only really study them in the Milky Way very well. But with this telescope, we could study them in galaxies like Andromeda and then use them to trace dark matter a little bit more accurately.
Where's the telescope going to be?
So it's going to be a space telescope, which means it's being built in the US at the moment with contributions from all different places. And then it will be launched up into space and it will, it's an infrared telescope. So
right.
It needs to be away from the Earth's atmosphere. That's why it's so important to be in space.
And the name is significant too.
It is. It's one of the very few telescopes that is named after a female astronomer.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's really, really good. Now, Sarah, you've been writing some articles too, I believe.
I have with my colleague, Dr. Rebecca Allen. We wrote a bit of a throwback article that is basically when we were in school, there were nine planets. What happened?
There were nine.
There were nine, and now there's only eight, which some people are very upset about.
Yeah.
I do get emails about that. And we kind of wrote this roundup article. It's on The Conversation. You can go and read it completely for free online. And it's everything you might want to know about planets now and the possibility that maybe there is a ninth planet, that we just haven't found it, all sorts of things, which is lots of fun.
What happened to the ninth planet? It wasn't like the 12 apostles.
It didn't disappear, no.
Okay.
So Pluto was originally our ninth planet until we discovered that there's lots of other things that look like Pluto. So we demoted Pluto and made it a dwarf planet. Demotion's the wrong word. We sidelined it. We
Pluto.
Gave it a side promotion.
Okay, right. Got sidelined.
Now dwarf planet. Yeah, exactly.
So it's still there, but it's just not called a planet.
Yeah, Pluto's still there, exactly. But we think there could potentially be a proper large planet that is lurking in the outskirts that could be our real ninth planet, but we just haven't found it yet.
Oh, really? And so potentially this unknown lurking planet could harbour life, like could be our second home?
Oh, probably. It could be. It could. Okay. It's a tricky thing. It probably won't have life because it's so far away from the sun that there'll be no liquid water. But it will be likely a rocky planet, potentially, which means that maybe humans could step foot on it. But it could also just be a big ball of gas. So.
You know why it's lurking? I've got the answer. It's because it's looking at how we treat our current planet and it says, no way am I letting them come near me. It's hiding.
That's funny. It might be hiding. It might say, please don't send things to me.
No,
I'm okay,
away.
Thank you.
Sarah, really good to chat with you. We'll chat with you again in a couple of weeks' time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That is Sarah Webb, Joy Drive's astrophysicist from Swinburne University of Technology.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.